All right, we are back at Visual Studio 2012 launch. Beautiful purple Seattle. We're with Tim Heuer.
Very purple.
It is. Well, what do you think about this, man?
It was interesting to walk into. Purple. Even the bathrooms, purple soap.
And, totally, man. Yeah. It's pretty impressive what the VS marketing team has pulled off. So congrats to you guys and everybody in Visual Studio world for releasing an excellent product. Now, you come from the XAML world. You're still in the XAML world.
I still am, yes.
So tell people a little about what you do.
Yeah, I am one of the program managers on the Windows Developer Experience team. I'm focusing this release on XAML technologies and delivering, being able to write Windows Store apps using the skills you know in XAML and .NET. And one of the exciting things we did this year was bring native code development to XAML as well. And so we extended basically the XAML UI framework to all our languages, with the exception of JavaScript, who has HTML as a rendering technology already. Yeah.
Have you gotten any flack about that? Like, do JavaScript developers want XAML?
Yeah. You know what's interesting is we do. We get because we have XAML has the capability to host web content in our WebView control. However, the WebView wasn't designed for kind of like an app hosting space. But people want to be able to interact more with web content and XAML UI elements, and we definitely need to improve that story a little bit better. Mm. But we are seeing the inverse as well of, I have this existing C# UI component, or Control Vendor A has this really cool thing. How can I use that in my JavaScript application? Mm-hmm. We're definitely seeing that request a lot. But there's a lot of good improvements in what IE10 has done as well to improve HTML rendering in Canvas, and you can do some pretty wicked things there as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's sort of DirectX underneath.
Yes. Yes.
So yeah, kudos to the IE team for really pushing the boundary on that stuff.
I mean, yes.
Very impressive. Now back into the Windows Store app world, let's talk a little bit about the XAML as it exists today. So you mentioned, so I'm a XAML guy, I have a WPF app. I'm sure you've heard this a million times.
Yep.
I want to take that. Certainly some things are going to have to change, but how similar is the XAML that you've developed for the Windows Store app model to the stuff that exists today for the desktop, like WPF?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. We have different kind of flavors, if you will, of XAML based on kind of where endpoints, for lack of a better term, you could use it. Mm-hmm. You have the full desktop, you have Silverlight, kind of this in the browser aspect. Mm-hmm. Then you have the phone as well, and now you have Windows Store apps in Windows 8. And so as we look at kind of the progression of those, the two most recent ones are Windows 8 and the phone. Mm. And so we probably closely align with the phone XAML reference implementation more so than WPF. And that's usually what I tell people. If you're expecting full-blown WPF, you probably shouldn't. We're closer aligned to a leaner client. Mm. And that has its pros and it has its cons, and we definitely hear the cons a little bit louder than some of the pros. So we're looking to understand the new scenarios. One of the things that we want to make sure our customers, being developers, are doing for their customers is thinking about new experiences as well, right? Mobile and smaller screens, different form factors, and consumerization of IT. Did I throw enough buzzwords in there?
Yeah, I like that was good. And you could use a couple more. Yeah, but I like that.
And so it's not just about I have this WPF app. How can I cut and paste into a Windows Store app? I think it's absolutely easier for us to say that you shouldn't think that way, but the developer will think that way. Mm. So we just need to make sure that we're doing a good job understanding why they feel they need to do that without redefining the user experience, right? Because I think a desktop application that depends on a system tray icon or other things is a different paradigm than this full screen immersive touch first kind of paradigm that we're moving into with all modern screens, the phone and the Windows Store apps. And as well, you look at things like Xbox as well, right? Like Kinect, voice, these things are not our traditional UI anymore at all.
Absolutely.
It's to get back to the root of your question, how much could I do from WPF over? Mm. There's a lot of familiarity Probably literally in the WPF space, not as much cut and paste.
Okay.
But you know, your skills and the concepts and the control model and how the rendering pipeline works and you know what the visual tree is and stuff, all of that is absolutely transferable. But you know, we optimized for the Windows 8 experience. We optimized for ensuring we have a great touch first experience without ignoring mouse and keyboard, and making sure that we deliver on those.
Great. So this is a question that we, you know, thank you for asking, Andre. I mean, you may or may not, I don't know if you're the right man to answer this. I mean, it's a fair question. You know, why is WinRT using SQLite instead of SQL CE? To change the subject slightly.
Yeah, no, it's a good question.
Okay.
I've actually spent a lot of time in this space.
Cool.
So it is a huge question of like, you know, hey, I need local storage for my app. What are my options? And we have several WinRT options available. We have Windows.storage API namespace, which is most equivalent to isolated storage in .NET, where it's kind of like a file folder-based mechanism. We have IndexedDB available to JavaScript applications. And then what IndexedDB is built on top of, the EZ, or JET, more commonly known as the JET database engine, is also available to app developers.
Okay.
Now, that's more of kind of like, you know, I'll call it an ISAM-based database. Doesn't have a query processor on top of that. Doesn't have link type behaviors. So usually we get this question from .NET developers is like, where is my SQL CE, right? Because I have this, you know, entity framework type model or this link behavior that I want, strongly typed querying, and I want a query processor on it, right? I want to be able to run link expressions or not have to load everything in memory.
Mm-hmm.
So SQL CE exists on the phone as part of Mango was introduced to extending to app developers. It was not a part of this release. We couldn't, you know, rationalize having SQL CE or what is probably the better option now, SQL Server Local DB, in the WinRT area. But what we did do is we looked at like, so what is the persistent store? And SQL CE is really kind of a little bit more coupled to ADO.NET. And so you have those expectations of what are the ADO.NET classes that would need to come across, and you know the CLR and the .NET framework core that exists in Windows 8 is not the full framework. It's not the full client framework. You know, it's a highly optimized subset of BCLs, and ADO.NET is not a part of that. So that kind of guided some of that decision. We also looked at like, you know, how do we get the widest coverage to C++ developers, to C# developers, and to JavaScript developers.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a lot of customers that were bringing existing code bases to us, mostly in the native space actually.
Mm.
And that code base they were bringing along with them included SQLite, which is highly proven open source database. It's actually like the best open source. This is like public domain, right? Like,
yes.
Here it is. Do whatever you want with it. And so we worked with those guys, and they had to change some code to adapt to some new APIs for the app container, the sandbox area, but making that available to developers now. So yeah, it's not delivered from Microsoft. It is through a third party, but
yep.
It's a pretty proven technology, and it's pretty solid. We have a number of apps in the store using it, and it's so far it's been very well received.
Excellent. Yeah, I mean,
and the phone is taking a support on that as well.
It is.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Awesome. Windows Phone 8.
Windows Phone 8. Yep.
Rock and roll. Yeah. SQLite is basically two people, right?
It's actually like a team about four or five, I think. But yeah, locally that we've interacted with two people, Dr. Richard Hipp, who's the guy who originated it, awesome guy.
Yeah.
And then the developer who kind of maintains the Microsoft side of things is actually in Bellevue. So
Perfect. It's
been great. It was Joe and working with him. And so he's come to my office several times, and we've been able to have a good working relationship so far.
No, I think it's a total win. It's excellent. So
I agree.
SQLite on modern UI style Windows Store apps.
Yes.
Just playing around. Windows Store apps, modern UI style, right?
I just work here.
Right on, man.
Yeah.
So let's continue on. So XAML, you know, one of the things I think is really interesting in the Windows Store app model is the ability to build. One of the things we've been seeing in the news, right? So Mark Zuckerberg was in the news yesterday, like making comments about, you know, making a bet on HTML5 was a mistake for Facebook in certain areas. We really should be going native on other platforms, and that I think what he means by native is a little bit of C++, but mainly what's natively supported on the platform as far as the UI stack.
Right.
So you have Java on Android and Cocoa Touch on iOS, blah, blah, blah. But there's still a native thing that's important. What I wanted to ask you about in that, you know, instead of the tyranny of or, you have the happiness of and in the Windows 8 model, you can have HTML5 code that directly interoperates with a C++ component.
Absolutely.
Or a C# component.
Or the OS level component.
Or the OS level component.
Right. I mean, that is the core of WinRT.
Okay.
So yeah, you know, you hear the comments that Zuckerberg said yesterday. Mm. And I think when we see what customers are desiring is the best experience on the best on you know their desired platforms, whether that's iOS, whether that's Android, whether that's Windows Phone, or you know the desktop varying desktop operating systems.
Sure.
They want to deliver the best experience for those, and you know, how do you get that best experience? You use the most optimized platform technologies they are. Mm. So as you noted in Windows 8, you know we have the or option available where we do actually see HTML and JavaScript as a part of our native OS developer platform. Mm. And we've done a lot of work, and I say we, both Windows as well as IE, to make sure that it is optimized, that HTML is a first-class citizen, JavaScript as a language is you know, an efficient and well-performing language as well.
Absolutely.
And then, yeah, you could mix native code with components. You know, maybe you want to do some shader type stuff based on images that you're going to blit on the screen for JavaScript. Yeah, you could totally do that.
It's really, really cool.
Yeah.
And I'd love to see more examples in the store. Now, great news yesterday was, I believe it was yesterday or the day before yesterday. I'm sorry, days blur.
Yes.
But the Windows Store is open for business.
Yes, yesterday.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
So I'd love to see more of these hybrid apps. I mean, one particularly incredibly cool hybrid app is XAML and DirectX.
Yes.
Like Fresh Paint.
Fresh Paint is a
canonical example.
Very, very cool app. And in fact, probably one of our best customers of the XAML XAML C++ interaction. They are using DirectX, but they're if you haven't downloaded the Fresh Paint store, it's free.
Download it.
Yeah, definitely. And it's from a research group at Microsoft. And one of the cool things is it's not you know what we see most in the mixing of DirectX and XAML so far is you know the full game type experience where maybe the app bar is XAML or some kind of heads up display is XAML. Mm-hmm. Fresh Paint is interesting enough that it has that aspect to it, but all the other aspects of interacting with that canvas that they're presenting, pun intended, is that it all is XAML. So they're actually the things that come down that show you the palette is an app bar, and it's you know a highly customized one. One thing that I like to point out about that app is. Take a color, take an oil paint, and kind of like paint it, and zoom in on the canvas, and then change to a different color and slowly paint over it, and you'll see the power of DirectX. So they have their artificial intelligence of how wet paints blend together, and you actually see that happening. If you pay attention close enough, like as you're using the brush, it starts to dry out and drip and things, and that's all DirectX.
Amen.
And it's combined with it's actually DirectX drawing on XAML elements, which is pretty fascinating. And they're all using Fresh Paint is delivered using exactly what we ask customers to deliver. Mm-hmm. They file new project that experience. Mm-hmm. They're not using any you know crazy Windows build system or anything like that. They're using Visual Studio 2012, file new project, C++, XAML, everything.
Totally. Yeah. And one of the cool things about what they've done, I mean, there'll be a conversation with them actually on Channel 9 in the latest episode of C9 Going Native. For those of you out there, you're going to want to catch that. But they actually took their original source code was an MFC app.
Yes.
So they have this wonderful story of going from this MFC app to a modern app on WinRT.
Yes.
It's a beautiful story. And yeah, the DirectX, I made a mistake of calling one of the guys in the interview a designer. Because I was thinking, you know, comes from the game studios, they like to design things. No, I'm a DirectX developer. I spend my life in code. I'm not a designer. Because I wanted to talk to somebody about the design, which is also very excellent. Very
modern. It is a good design. Yeah.
So are you seeing, let's talk a little bit about, I mean, I'm definitely fascinated with HTML, one of the great things about HTML, it's great for laying out pages, turns out.
Yes.
So, you know, HTML with C++ underneath. What are some examples of apps that are doing that? Do you know any off the top of your head?
Well, one that I mentioned just conceptually is the concept of, you know, pushing high performing code to, you know, a C++ component, yes, like pixel shaders. You know, let's say I have like kind of like an Instagram-ish type thing where, okay, I want to use the WinRT APIs. I can easily do that in JavaScript and capture an image from a webcam or a video. Mm-hmm. And once I have that bitmap, now I want to apply some shaders. I want to apply different effects, you know, things that are happening on the screen behind us, right?
Totally.
Add pixelation to it or something like that, which is, you know, more highly optimized routine to do in C++ than it is in JavaScript. Okay. So I can take that, you know, those bits, send them to my component, you know, C++ does its magic and then sends it back to me in a different bitmap form that I put on the screen.
Sure.
That's definitely one thing that I'm seeing quite a bit,
okay,
about. The other thing is, you know, maybe I have, a suite of components that have some shared kind of COM aspect to it. If you think about things like, how we have the mail and the people and the calendar app.
Yes.
They're all accessing like the same back end store. Mm. And so how can I create, you know, a common component that they can all access that's robust and efficient in the way that they share information? And that's one. I also mentioned like the local storage aspects,
yes,
of the EZ engine.
Okay.
There is not a great .NET story to using the EZ or JET engine, but most native developers, you know, it's just pound include, give me that and get out of my way. Mm. And so we see a lot of that where if the local storage aspect in the file and folder base is not enough for your app, your HTML JavaScript app, but you want more of a structured storage or, you know, somewhat more of a structured storage, you can use the EZ engine. We have, you know, you see a lot of C++ components kind of managing that aspect.
Okay, excellent.
Yeah.
Now, what are, like, not in terms of percentages of how many people are doing this. I mean, one of the goals that you guys had in the Windows world of not just picking, you know, not just betting on one technology over everything else, but rather saying, let's support what we know people are using. We know, yeah, there's C++ developers. We know there's lots of great .NET developers. We know there's lots of web developers. Web developers aren't really used to writing client applications on Windows. I mean, even though that's sort of what's happening in a web browser, but the web browser is kind of a virtual machine, if you will, or a runtime.
Mm-hmm.
That's really not, that's abstracting the operating system away from you. Now you can write HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. That's native, quote unquote.
Right.
Now the JavaScript actually does get compiled to platform-specific assembly, so the machine assembly at install time.
Right.
So when you actually run an HTML5 app, it's not in a web view control. It's actually one of these great new modern apps.
Right.
It's running really fast.
Yeah.
It's native.
Yeah.
Which I think is really, really, really interesting. And I'm wondering how is the HTML community and the web development community taking to this?
You know, I don't have the best ear to that ground,
okay,
being where I
where
sit.
Where you sit, yes.
Yeah. But, you know, I do see a lot of colleagues, you know, investing, a lot of .NET colleagues kind of, you know, investing and learning that. I always think it's good to learn new languages,
sure,
and things. And because what we just talked about of mixing languages,
yes,
you know, you can get the benefit of all worlds. Mm. But I think we're seeing some pretty fantastic work on the HTML side. The one that comes to mind is the Cut the Ropes game that was primarily done for IE10, but they actually made a Windows 8 app out of it as well.
Cool.
And that's all JavaScript, right? You know, you look at that and you go, wow, that's pretty fluid. There's some logic in there. There's animations are fluid, and that's all Canvas and JavaScript. So I think, you know, our promise is definitely, you know, kind of build with what you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the subsystems underneath of being WinRT and being able to access the OS is the same regardless, mm-hmm, of your language choice. It's just you're making a UI technology choice at that point.
Great. Now, so, you know, one thing that's really important with these apps, and I know there's like a lot of guidance out there on MSDN, and it's really about how to design. You know, when you think about, when somebody comes up, like one of your friends asks you, hey, what is this Windows Store app? What is this modern UI style that you're talking about? How would you answer that question?
I think it's first and foremost, I think we realize that it's a touch first experience, or, you know, we have to be thinking about that. You look at everything that, you know, people are using on their daily basis in their phones, and laptops are getting more touch, and people having iPads, and, you know, all these different devices.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing that we definitely optimize, and we want developers to think about is, you know, that is a huge part of our design language is making sure that, you know, you're optimizing for a touch experience.
Mm.
Simplicity is a big part of it as well, you know, and not to try to really create noise for the user about I think the design guidelines say it best when they say, you know, make sure you're optimizing your app for the one thing that it's good at. You know, not trying to be everything, and really focusing on that. And so the UI design language helps you do that because of the simplistic nature of it.
Okay. Yeah. Now, one of the things I would ask you, I've seen some apps where, and this is the beautiful thing about DirectX. I think if you're a DirectX fan, this is sort of the apex of DirectX really hitting it big time. Now, obviously, it's on Xbox, it's on all kinds of PC games. We all know that. But this is talking about the potential to take applications that aren't games and to do really, really interesting things. So and this is what I think was a little bit confusing to me at the very beginning of this journey, was that, you know, being digitally authentic and being simple and being focused, that doesn't necessarily mean, hey, you should only use the SDK templates for your design.
Or primary colors and squares, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't mean that at all.
No.
Actually, your comment about DirectX and games is pretty astute, you know, because I think, you know, the nerds tend to think about like DirectX equal games, and that's not necessarily the case. If you think about things like the medical field as an example, and being able to look at a three-dimensional X-ray, you know, three-dimensional ultrasounds are huge these days, and
yes.
I assume we're not too far off from three-dimensional MRI type stuff and things like that, and being able to, you know, have a physician hold that and kind of see a 360 view of their patient and things like that. You know, DirectX, I think, is optimized for that. Any type of CAD/CAM type environment, you would generally flow to that. And like you said, it doesn't necessarily have to mean that CAD diagram of the engine explosion all of a sudden has to be rectangles and, you know, square edges and things like that, because that doesn't make sense for that for that language, right? So that wouldn't be authentically digital for that use case.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so we have the flexibility, you know, the design guidelines are there to have Rails for some of the more common use cases, but you need to develop and design appropriately for your audience, for sure.
Excellent. So hey, we have 5 minutes left with Tim Heuer. If you have questions for, you know, about XAML, windows.ui.xaml for your developers out there, or just building these modern Windows Store apps for anybody else who's curious, now's the time to ask. Hashtag CH9Live. So, what's a modern app? I asked some of that too, so I'm putting you on the spot.
Oh, okay. I think a modern app is something that favors the user and the user's preferences and what the user wants to do rather than what the operating system wants to do. Mm. I think for me, one of the premises of our design language, I like all the typography stuff, I like the simplicity, but the principle that I like most is the content over Chrome aspect, that when I'm doing a task, there's nothing else in my way of doing that task. And I think for us, that's a big piece of being a modern app. You know, you can throw in other buzzwords if you want about fast and fluid. I think those are things that should be expected of a platform in these times. But first and foremost, I think, you know, as an app developer, focusing on what your app does best and what your users want to do with your app, not what you want to do with your users, you know, how to make sure that your users are in control of their experience and you're not enforcing any specific experience on them.
Excellent. Now, you've been involved with XAML for a long time.
Yep.
I mean, if people read your blog, you've done a lot of work with C# and XAML over the years, some great work actually. And the question I have for you is, how has XAML evolved? Let's forget about the fact that it's, you have WPF here, Silverlight there, whatever. XAML is what we're talking about here. Now, how has that evolved to where we are today? I mean, are you content and happy with where we are with XAML in the world that you live in? I mean, it's smaller, it's more streamlined. Talk to me about how would you characterize XAML as a markup language, as code? And let's talk about, as we end here, what your thoughts are on where we are today with XAML in this world and perhaps what sort of things still need to be done.
Yeah, I think there's two aspects. I think, you know, we typically think of XAML, and we say the word XAML, we think of the controls that make up a particular framework that we're using. Mm. When in reality, XAML is the language, right? As you mentioned, the markup language and kind of the language spec, if you will. So XAML is used quite a bit in a lot of different places. In fact, workflow uses XAML to describe some of its things, both in the UI when they show a workflow, but also in kind of business definitions of how XAML flows. Visual Studio 2012, in fact, uses XAML for some of its business rule processing.
Nice.
So it is a markup language that doesn't always have to be coupled to something that is on the screen.
Yeah.
But we tend to focus what's on the screen. Now, I think what's evolved over time is this, I am in favor of the reduction in surface area that's evolved over time. I think the more we can get to a very specific API surface area and the controls and the UI platform, the better it will be for our users to create consistent experiences for our customers, the royal we Microsoft customers,
mm-hmm.
As well as for them. You know, I think we do have a lot to make it easier for, we can do more things to make it easier for developers to create those experiences, but we want to do that in a very judicious way as not to create, you know, bloat in the platform and create this platform that is so daunting that nobody knows how to use it.
Sure.
And I think that's one of our overarching design goals going into Windows 8, mm-hmm. is to not look at it as a task of we need to port WPF, mm-hmm. but instead look at it as a task of what's the right thing for Windows 8 apps,
mm-hmm.
That we know going forward, given these design principles, given what a modern app is, mm-hmm. you know, what is the right XAML UI platform for that, mm-hmm. instead of looking at it as an exercise of everything that we had, we still need to have. You know,
mm-hmm.
I don't think we need to do that anymore.
Okay.
And so we need to start making the right decisions for our platform, for the better of our customers as well.
Absolutely. Well, hey, great to talk to you, Tim,
yeah, you too.
As always.
Always, yes.
And great job with modern XAML. Can we call it that?
Sure.
Modern XAML running on modern apps on a modern operating system and a modern IDE called Visual Studio 2012. And, of course, there's the Expression Blend tools that it all blends together nicely. And
yes.
You can. So I'm really proud of the work that this whole company is up to right now. This is going to be a great year.
Yes.
So rock and roll. Coming up next, Tracy Truin with Brian Keller. And they're going to talk about VS Pro and some other very interesting things. So tune in for that and ask questions.
Bye.